Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please be seated? I have heard, and you no doubt have heard this too, and I tend to believe it, that I believe it from my own experience, that every Christian has his or her areas of weakness, where the devil is ready to tempt you, seemingly at a moment's notice, to stumble and sin, and he can especially tempt you in that area that he knows is your weakest point. It's an area of life where you have fallen again and again, oftentimes. For one person, it might be greed. Another, it might be lust. Another, it might be anger, jealousy. Who knows what it is for you? But then, it seems to me there are other areas where everybody is tempted. Everybody is tempted often, and everybody falls, it seems like. And Jesus addresses one of those areas in our lesson for this morning, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. And you know what? I've never known anyone who never worried about anything. I've known people who didn't worry very often, but I've never known anybody who wasn't subject to this sin of worry. And Jesus says this in our lesson for this morning: "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." By the way, notice those first seven words are not a suggestion. They're not a tip. They're a command. "Do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air." This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, by the way. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" I like the King James. "Are you not of more value than many sparrows? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" I can think of three lies that the devil tells us to tempt us into that sin of worry. And I think maybe there are a lot more lies than this, but I can think of three. And the first one I can think of is this: when you faced some situation in your life that seems to overpower you, that the devil says this, right? Haven't you heard this? That this problem is so large, it's so earth-shaking, well, maybe God just isn't able to deal with this one. Have you ever had that thought creep into your mind? You know where that thought comes from, by the way, whenever it happens. What a silly thought that is, isn't it? As if this problem that you're facing now is something new to God. There's nothing new to God. He's seen it all. He can deal with it all. Isn't the God that you cry out to when you're in pain, isn't he the one who created everything? Isn't he the one who opened up the Red Sea and let his people go through and then swallowed up the Egyptians? Isn't he the one who made an old man and an old woman able to have a baby? I think he can answer your prayers. Listen to what, by the way, God addressed this very issue in the book of Jeremiah, where he says this: "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" The implied answer is, of course not. Another lie that the devil whispers is this: "Well, I know God can handle it. I just don't know if he will." Right? Surely you've had that thought creep into your mind now and then. "Well, maybe I've just been too unfaithful to him. He's not going to come to my rescue this time. He's done it before, but not this time." Or maybe God just sometimes answers and sometimes he doesn't. And this might be one of those times he doesn't, right? But if he were that way, why would he say, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you? And why would he say this if you just were going to pick you out this time and not answer you? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, aren't you whoever? Of course. Luther said one time, he said, pray and leave the worrying to God. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? A third lie that the devil whispers has to do with this. This is really a subtle twisting of the truth that says, well, I'm afraid God isn't going to solve my problems the way I want him to. Now, that actually might be true. He might not solve them the way you want him to, but the lie is this, that the way you want him to solve your problems is better than the way he will solve them. Right, there's the lie right there, that my way is better than God's way. As if God delights in disappointing his children. Now, if he loved to disappoint his children, he would have never have made you his child in the first place. Wouldn't that be true? Luther also one time said this. Well, I'll just summarize it by saying this. He said something longer than this, but you can summarize it this way. That God always gives us what we ask for, or he gives us something better. And that is really true. Our problem is we just don't know what is better for us sometimes. We're like the child who wants to eat candy all the time. And sometimes we just want a candy-coated life. But you know what? It might just be that a candy-coated life will not lead you to heaven. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be with him forever. Not just a few short years on earth. He wants you there forever. And that candy-coated life might lead you away from him. So he knows what is best. Well, how do I know that that is true? That he always wants what's best for me. That I know that the pain, even the pain that he sends me, is what is best for me. Well, you see, if you're trusting him, then you are his child. And think about what he did to make you his child. Why, he sent his son, his only begotten son. You see, we're adopted as his children, but he sent his only begotten son to a life of pain and ultimately torture, to die on a cross and bleed his blood, to take your place and wash away your sins, so that you can go to heaven and be with him forever. And if he would do that, don't you think you can trust a God like that? You can trust a God like that. So there is no need to worry. May God grant you that thought, and also that the peace that he gives will keep your heart and your mind in him unto life everlasting. Would you please pray with me? Gracious Lord, we commend ourselves to you this morning, asking that you would cleanse us anew and that you would reign over us. Grant that faith and that Christ through faith may dwell in our hearts and that he may bring forth the fruits of faith within us, love, hope, humility, meekness, and patience. Teach us to desire nothing but your love, no gain but the riches of your grace, no honor but that of being your child. And grant that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.